You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Andy Martino, SNY.TV. The man knows it all about sports and really baseball primarily. Maybe I'm giving you too much credit. In fact, I am on the whole sports thing. But baseball, yes, absolutely. Hi.
You ask me any piece of obscure trivia about 1940s college basketball, and I'll get it. I know everything there is to know. I barely know what I need to know about baseball, but I'm ready for this segment.
You're readier than I was, as we've demonstrated thus far. Andy, why does there? We know there's going to be baseball, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we know that there's going to be baseball, but why does there have to be this level of strife every time between the players and the owners, outside of the normal, simple distrust that exists?
Well, I don't think you can get outside of the normal distrust that exists, because that's the key word that you're using, that the sides feel for each other is distrust. And they're all playing their roles, like always happens during a negotiation. And you're talking about people who have been at this for a long time. Scott Boras, who we'll get to later, been in his role for more than 30 years. Rob Manfred, quarter century, negotiating with the Players Association. Dan Halen's been there a long time under Manfred. Tony Clark, obviously been in the game a long time, was a higher up in the union under Michael Wiener before he ascended to the job. Point being, you've got people who seem to only know how to do this one way. And there was a hope, I think, I had one, and I know there were people in the game that had this hope, that the backdrop of 100,000 U.S. deaths would create a more sober environment for this, and it hasn't. It's just everybody playing the roles in this theater as if there were no pandemic killing people's loved ones. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but that is literally the backdrop on which this is happening.
It's not being dramatic. It's being factual. And that's why it's so hard to fathom that they can't for once at least figure out a way to bitch at each other behind closed doors.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, too, is that, I mean, you, after the league made its offer, the union got it to a few outlets that they were unhappy with the offer. And then my reporting, which included talking to people on all sides, was a lot of downplaying of that. Like, everyone's okay, and this is just the process, and, you know, we're fine. So it does kind of bear the question on both sides, guilty of leaks, you know, why do it? But I guess truly they see it as part of the negotiation, the manipulation of public opinion, and that's fair. But again, it's just, it's not the time.
It's not. We're talking to Andy Martino of SNY. Now, this was my take on it last night. Tell me if I'm reading it wrong. I do believe that in the owner's latest proposal, there is absolutely a concerted effort to drive a wedge in the middle of the union, based strictly upon, similar to what we saw in the NFL, the guys who cannot afford to miss an entire season financially are being, in essence, rewarded in this deal by not losing much money, while the guys at the higher end are being rewarded. And as it turns out, the rank and file making $1 million or less, they're in the majority.
65% of the league, in fact, making a million or less. So it's quite a savvy little move that you almost have to tip your hat to, even though it's sort of diabolical.
Oh, it's diabolical.
MLB, they'll never admit it, but of course, the effect, you can't speak, you know, factually to anybody's intent, but the effect of that proposal, of course, was to exploit the class division that already exists within players. It's a pretty extraordinary workplace when you have, just as a random example, last year on the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton made $25.5 million more than his teammate Ben Heller. I mean, in what workplace is that going to get? Now, Heller's not doing too bad for himself, making $500,000. In that scenario, but that's not the kind of wealth where you can just not work, especially if you've only been earning that for a year or two. So what the proposal basically did was ask Giancarlo Stanton to take care of, to make a decision on Ben Heller, you know, figuratively. The fans of the world have to say, you guys can earn or not, and we have to take this huge pay cut in order to allow you to earn. Now, I happen to think that this proposal isn't worth a ton of contemplation because we all know that it's not what they're going to end up with. But it was an interestingly aggressive first shot by MLB.
Andy Martino with us from SNY.TV. All right, so where we are right now, is there any scenario in which the players can actually come out of it looking okay? Or in every scenario over the next week or so, as this continues to play out, are they going to continue to be the ones that are blamed for everything publicly? Because that's the way it's always been.
Well, what they have going against them is the fact that for some reason, the American public has always sided with the billionaires over the workers. And we understand that the workers are paid better than us, but they're only paid a chunk of what their billionaire owners make, and include fair market value and all that. And then it's created resentment in the public, and fans are in quick, by and large, to blame players. So probably there is no way for them to not look greedy among people who are going to look at it that way. That's the way that they've been cast long ago in the public imagination. They were blamed for the strike. They were the ones that were booed for the strike when they came back in 95 because they were on the field. The owner wanted to institute salary cap, and that was deemed that was a no-go by Judge Sotomayor all those years ago. The owners never had to get booed because they were in their boxes and the seats or wherever they were hiding. So it's always been the players to take the brunt of the public anger on this kind of thing. I don't expect that to change.
Andy, how dire is the situation financially for the owners right now without having fans in the stands?
Well, I happen to be looking at their books right now, and what I can tell you is, no, I'm not. Nobody.
All right, Andy, let me rephrase. From your extensive reporting.
No. That actually, the wisecrack speaks to the issue here of the distrust. That's the perfect word that you brought up, Chris, before, because they say, you heard Rob Manfred on CNN say the losses could be about $4 billion if they play half the season. I actually heard $4 to $6 billion through sources of mine. You hear the teams are going to have to not be able to make payroll and not be able to participate in free agency and all these horrible things. But the union saying, well, we have to take the league's word for that because they don't have access really to their finances. We don't. And so I can tell you what league sources tell me, which is all the stuff I just said, just how brutal of a bloodbath they're taking financially. And I don't doubt it. They're not playing games, so their source of revenue is completely dried up. I don't doubt that they're taking big losses. I'm not saying I do. But in terms of exactly, we were forced to take the word for it.
Well, but I mean, even moving forward, if they are playing games but not having fans, I've heard along the way that there are teams that would rather not play games at all than play games without fans because they actually would end up saving more money.
Yeah, look, I've heard that too, that these television deals are where the majority of the money drives from. I mean, you hear numbers from 30% to Tom Ricketts, the Cubs owner, said 70% of his revenue was ballpark, and everyone's like, excuse me, that doesn't make any sense. But so you have different claims about different revenue percentages, but if they're able to honor their TV contracts, especially in the postseason, I can't imagine that's got to be preferable to not playing at all. I can't imagine how it wouldn't be, because I understand they have to pay salaries and they have to pay high salaries and have no gate receipts, ballpark revenue. But I just if they're able to honor those TV contracts, that's just a major source of revenue. Plus, there's the intangible here of baseball being back, people being able to watch it. You're possibly gaining young fans who aren't in school or aren't in summer camp and are able to watch more, and all those intangibles that could help grow the game.
Andy Martino, SNY, with us. Trevor Bauer today, taking direct aim, so to speak, at what Scott Boras has rumored to be, and that's heavily involved in these negotiations behind the scenes, and Bauer basically telling him to stay out of it. I've heard from other people that there's been a lot of sentiment among some players that it's Scott shut the blank up and don't be involved here. And those are obviously players that are not involved or not represented by him. What do you make of this public dispute between a player and an agent on the same side?
Well, it's really interesting how social media has given these players a voice to spontaneously express the thoughts that they might have said to one another at any other time, or the gossip that they would pass among each other. But I can tell you exactly what this one's about. And I'm actually a little surprised that Bauer took this long to pick up on this line of talk, because it's pretty well known to the game that other agents and people associated with the player's side are uncomfortable with what they have perceived for a few years to be Scott Boras's increasing influence in the union. Without getting too much into the thick of it, there were some comings and goings among high-ranking union lawyers, and that was all perceived to be, if not orchestrated by Boras, something that worked for Boras. He's got allies up in the union, which other agents fear gives him the opportunity to steer these things, which often isn't the direction that all agents would go. Boras is a real labor hawk. He really stands on principle and doesn't really have another gear. And there are other agents who are moderates who would like to have a little bit less of a combative tone and dialogue. So that's what that's all about. And, whether or not Boras actually is whispering in the union's ear, I'm not here to say, but I'm here to tell you that it's a strongly held belief. So it's almost like someone finally told Bauer and he went to Twitter. But for those of us that kind of follow this blow by blow, it's pretty inside stuff, and it's not that relevant. I don't know if an article about this would be interesting to the average reader, but it's definitely something, a backdrop of the negotiations. And the upshot of it is, Chris, that it does underscore how the player's side is not as unified as the owner's side. It's too vast and too diverse of a group. 30 billionaires versus, 700-some players, their agents. It's just it's like herding cats to get everybody on the same page. It's a challenge for Tony Clark.
I don't think there's any question, and look, I absolutely believe that Boras is right there with Tony Clark, almost side by side in a lot of ways. But that aside, more than anything, what this does is reinforce what we were talking about earlier. The owners trying to drive that wedge. Oh, and the next day, here's a wedge.
and it's
way out there in public once again.
Yep, that's a great point. And Bauer is someone who's always been a good quote and interesting, and I certainly not agree with everything he's done or said, but you give him the right to express himself. But as with Blake Snell, who has the right to express himself, those things can have consequences when they play out in public.
One thing that I have kind of advocated for, and I know it's not going to happen because of what you just described, like herding cats. Mm-hmm. I feel like the players, if they really got their act together, could flip the script here, could go and really make a large concession for the rest of the season, take care of the guys on the lower end this year, and mm-hmm. almost go back to them and say, hey, this is what we're willing to do on their own. Not even go back, to the owners, just say, we're willing to make this deal for the rest of this year. And to top it off, we want America to know, we want people who are struggling to know how fortunate we know we are and how much we do care about them, and putting together something on their own as the MLBPA, some grand gesture to COVID or to relief of those who have lost jobs and such, that going into next year, Andy, it may pay off for them tenfold in their perception when the CBA is actually up. Mm-hmm. Am I dreaming?
Well, I think it would be nice. I completely agree with you that if they think of and portray this whole thing as one concerned about people who have been in harm's way and people who have suffered more than we're concerned about ourselves, that would be a great message, and that would engender a lot of goodwill. I don't know that goodwill helps them next year in the CBA talks, and that's where they're in a tight spot. It's still Tony Clark and his lawyers going to be negotiating in 21 with Rob Manfred, Dan Halen, and their lawyers, who are a really tough group, and at a certain point, it's what goes on in that room and not what the public thinks when it comes to something like that. So they're worried that they're going to accidentally set some precedent here or open up some Pandora's box, like revenue sharing, that's going to hurt them, which is why they're so reluctant to take a deal that they don't think is fair. And they're also just dug in on, hey, look, they feel that they had this agreement about the prorated salaries in March, and there's different ways to read that language and blah, blah, blah. And they're pretty so dug in on that right now as a group that I think, unfortunately, it is probably wishful thinking to think they could spin that focus around and not be thinking about themselves, because that does seem to be where they're at. But it's not a bad reminder for all of us who can get self-centered and navel-gazing to think about how things that we can do for other people. And the players certainly have the resources to do a better job of that than we do. So, yeah, I like that in theory.
I live in a utopia, basically.
I've always thought of you as just a wide-eyed idealist.
Yes.
Just a sort of like a nice, sort of like a Midwestern actress who just got off the bus in Hollywood and is just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yes, exactly. I come from a place where we raise unicorns, in fact.
That's exactly right. I've been to your unicorn farm.
It's impressive. Andy Martino, SNY, before we let you go, how ugly is this going to get over the next week?
Well, I think there'll be continued saber-rattling over a handful of days as the proposals go back and forth. And then it'll be quiet, and when it gets quiet is when they're really hard at work. And the hope in the industry is that by this weekend, they'll be really hard at work hammering out a deal. And as soon as they have a deal, most of this will be forgotten. Not all of it. I think we'll always remember how much they were kind of in a little snit about money during a time of terrible mass death. I don't think I'll totally forget that, and I doubt you will either. But there'll be a little more of it, and then they'll come to an agreement.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the insight, as always. And it sucks that in the middle of this, we actually have to sit and watch and talk about this for a week, because these two sides just can't see the bigger picture for one tiny...
Maybe they are being generous. You know, maybe they're just trying to give us content at a time where there are basically no sports. You think it's
excellent,
that?
Excellent, great. Excellent point.
Looking out for the media?
Myself, you just gave me a tremendous idea to kill time by looking at my own navel, and thank you for that. Because my navel, if you gazed at my navel, you'd realize it's spectacular.
I can only imagine what a glorious navel it is, and on that, I bid you farewell.
Good night, Andy.
Good night.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.